happens. People gotta mow lawns. People gotta do things. Although, you know, depending on where they live at, if they needed to go get like 2-stroke more motor oil for their lawnmower, they couldn't do that. That's not an essential item. So,
I mean, it's not. So, anyways. I'm ready to go when you are.
Lawn care kind of is. It's like essential, like especially if you got like a home. What are those called?
HOA. Okay, HOA. If they got freaking their thumbs up their asses so far that they're gonna get upset over that during a freaking quarantine, then they can eat several dicks.
I've known a few people that live with HOAs, and their thumbs are definitely that far up their asses.
We used to live in one too, and we would just say fuck off if we were during a quarantine and they're like, excuse me, you need to do this, I'd be like, get fucked, bro, don't care, not gonna, obviously can't do it right now for various reasons, blah blah blah, blah. I just got really indignant about that. Fuck that. Fuck the HOA.
I could never ever live in an area with an HOA.
yeah,
never. Anyways, I actually have something I really want to kind of discuss at length with you.
Okay.
And it's just a rumor. It's a rumor we've actually discussed before.
Okay.
But you actually wrote on it, the next big bad for the Avengers. We mentioned several people. We talked about Annihilus. We talked about Galactus. We talked about Victor Von Doom, and we talked about this guy named Kang the Conqueror.
I don't know if we ever talked about Victor Von Doom as like a big bad for the entire thing, but
we talked like he would be like an Earth big bad.
Okay, that's fair. Like an Ultron type character.
Yeah,
that's
like,
fair.
Like an Earth big bad that, you know, has a single Avengers level event before he gets his, you know what, smacked into the dirt, and then just goes back to being pesky to the Richards family. But before we get into that, I don't want to forget to say good morning, everybody, and welcome to LR Mornings today with Kyle and
Jammer.
And yeah, Kang the Conqueror.
Kang the Conquering Hero.
There was a tweet from Casey Walsh that said, take this with a grain of salt, but I've heard from two independent sources that the MCU has their next big bad all picked out and has already met with and likely hired the actor. Addendum, this was something I started hearing before the hashtag COVID situation, and he posts a video from one of the more recent Avenger cartoons of Kang the Conqueror.
To be clear, he actually doesn't specify Kang the Conqueror in that tweet, but it seems to imply it based on the little gif that he has going on there.
Yeah. So, do you know a lot about Kang?
I know about Kang. I know some about Kang, but it's just more before we get into the details of the character, I do want to say that it is noteworthy on two fronts. One, it is that Casey Walsh is from the Geeks Worldwide, and they're relatively well-known in scooping communities. So it's somewhat a reliable source. That being said, it was also only on the guy's Twitter account and not on the site. So, and the fact they also said take it with a grain of salt. It's kind of like buffering, a little bit of distancing there. But, you know, it's interesting to talk about. At the very least, it sounds like there's some serious discussion and acknowledgement about who is going to be the next one, and if they've even maybe met with an actor, even if that part is true, it means that we could get somebody within the next phase, which is, you know, the next 2 years or so among the movies and the TV shows, which is solid. I think that's pretty good news. I think at the very least we can expect to see them very soon.
Would laugh my ass off if everybody's pick for Reed Richards, John Krasinski.
Krasinski, yeah.
If he ended up
playing Kang the Conqueror.
Playing Kang the Conqueror instead of Reed. What makes Kang interesting is there's actually multiple versions of Kang the Conqueror all throughout different timelines of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including multiple versions within the 616, the main Marvel universe, or formerly main Marvel universe, there's different things that you can do with the character, but the most interesting one is Kang plays with time travel a lot, and there's one version, Iron Lad, who doesn't know, but is actually the adolescent version of Kang the Conqueror. And when he realizes this, he steals some time travel technology and goes back, because Iron Lad's kind of like in the future. He's not hanging out with Iron Man right now, but decides to go form the Young Avengers to help him stop Kang. And when it fails, destiny is inevitable, so to speak. We learn that through Thanos to a degree. He has to go back, undo the changes, and become Kang the Conqueror.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that version works well because that we've already played with time travel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way for Marvel to bring back Evans and Tony if they really wanted to. Like if they were hurting, you smack those two in any movie and it automatically brings
but hopefully they won't have to.
Yeah, hopefully they don't have to. Brings the level of hurt down a bit. The idea of inevitability kind of plays with it, and then you could do another two parter. You know, let's say we get Avengers 4 and 5, and then 6 and 7 is everything leading up to Iron Lad creating the new Young Avengers and realizing that, you know, this isn't going to work out. And then the next film is the Young and New Avengers multiple timelines coming together to defeat Kang the Conqueror. I don't know. What do you think about that idea?
I mean, I don't like the idea of having Lad characters. I just don't. I don't like any character with the name Lad in it. I just hate the name. But I like the overall idea of embracing the multiverse aspect, because obviously we know the multiverse of madness is coming. We know that Loki takes place in an alternate timeline, and that Kang could potentially, his story could involve the twisting and manipulation of timelines. So it just seems like a natural way to take things going forward if you want to capitalize on that stuff. Obviously, we don't know how layered and deep things are going to go, but this is also a long-term game. Like, we have what? How many projects do we have for the next 2 years? A million or something? And it took 10, us...
10, including shows, I think.
Yeah, 10, including shows. So 10 in 2 years, right-ish. Obviously, the COVID-19 pandemic has changed things a bit. But 10 in 2 years, and it took us 10 years to get to Thanos. So with that in mind, we're talking maybe, if we're thinking another decades-long buildup, we're talking 5 times, potentially 30 to 50 projects leading up to this guy. That's ridiculous. But it's kind of what they need, right? It's kind of something really big to build up to once again. And of course, you can have the other stuff like the Doctor Dooms, you know, have like a smaller smaller Avengers movie leading up to it, and building up to, Kang. And then you can build even bigger once you're done with him. I don't know if we're ever going to get to that point because that just sounds way too much for my brain to handle at this moment. But yeah, I think I don't know about the specific story points you're talking, but the idea of Kang I do like.
Okay. I can even see Doom. We know he deals with magics and technology. I could see him in a Fantastic Four movie, like towards the end of it. He's sitting there in his castle in Latveria, messing with something that shows future possible timelines. And he sees Kang and kind of follows Kang for a moment. And then he's like, no, I have to be the one to stop him. And that leads into an Avengers movie with the Avengers versus Doom. And then, like, at the end of that, here comes... we don't have to call him Iron Lad. We can call him Iron Man, but he could be like, I'm
a new Iron Man. A new Iron Man, yeah.
Yeah, I'm Iron Man from 2350, and we've gotta stop Kang.
Mm-hmm. So basically, he's future Trunks, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, yeah, kind of do it like that.
I fucking love that idea, just because I love the idea of some sort of Dragon Ball Z making it to the big screen in a way that's not Dragon Ball Evolution.
Yeah.
But I really like that idea. That's a really good idea.
That was terrible.
And I like the idea of Dr. Doom having to sort of work with the Avengers as well in the other movie when the time comes.
Like at the end of it, especially if you do like that two-parter where the new Iron Man discovers that in order to fix things, he has to become Kang. And then in that next movie, they have to team up with Doom. And yeah, I think that would be a really, really interesting way to do it. And it allows you to introduce other bad guys. Mm-hmm. that lead up to it, because we could still have a Galactus film. We could still have a where Galactus is the bad guy, not Galactus getting his own film. But
what about Madam Webb?
Oh God, shut up! I really, really, really hope that goes the way of Silver.
I hope it
and
happens.
Black
I hope it happens. Just to spite you.
Probably would. So Sony's working on pissing me off on their last thing that I like from them, the PlayStation, with that god awful looking controller, and I'm
oh,
scared
please.
Shitless what that console's gonna look like.
Oh, it's okay. A console and a controller, they're both tools and stuff. It doesn't matter at the end of the day.
It matters if it's comfortable in your hands.
Yeah, but it looks comfortable. You just don't like the way it looks because you're weird.
It still looks too. I don't know if
it's based.
How
it's
I'm
based.
Phrasing this
it is based
thick
on
in the middle, and I like the way my hand can wrap around my controllers. I don't want to feel like I'm holding a controller, not just supporting a controller and pushing buttons as I support this thing.
But the Xbox One controller is a delight. And it looks like it feels a lot like. And I've read that it looks they took that into consideration and that it feels smaller than it looks.
Mm.
Anyway, we've gone off course. We were talking about Kang the Conqueror.
there's all sorts of different versions of them. There's one that can tie into the X-Men. There's one where Kang travels back to ancient Egypt and is going to set up Apocalypse,
mm-hmm.
the supposed first mutant, and the Avengers help stop him, keep that from happening. There's the Immortus version of Kang, who resides in like a limbo type thing. He fights the Avengers, and there's, I mean, everything. A lot of them deal with some sort of time travel, but the most interesting one is the Iron Lad, the guy trying to escape his own destiny. And I just love the idea and things that you can do with that, trying to escape one's own destiny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I like that idea. We'll just see. I'm just sitting here thinking, like, man, there's so many other threads that the MCU is going to be weaving. I don't know what they have room for, what they're planning for the long term, so it's hard to say.
I mean, I still like the idea of having smaller, you know, quote, you know, sort of bad guys of the week. I could even see where, you know, like you said, we're doing 10 years, and there's 10, you know, five projects a year. So you're talking 50 projects. There's enough that each phase kind of has a monster of the phase, something that builds up, and they got to go face them. One of them being Doom, one of them being more cosmic with Galactus or Nihilus,
mm-hmm.
And then but in the far background, and you really have to lay some small Easter eggs in this one, in the far background, sitting, you know, 10 years away from here, 50 projects away from here, is Kang the Conqueror. And like, he doesn't even have to show up the same way that Thanos did in
Avengers.
Yeah, that, but the other one where he actually talks, Guardians of the Galaxy. You could literally have, just like I said, you could have Doom like looking through time, and he sees that thread, and you know that sets up him versus the Avengers, because he's going to try to steal some technology or take the Avengers out of the game, because he sees, you know, Iron Man, young Iron Man, because I'm like you, I don't want to use the word lad, but he sees this Iron Man coming back to form with the Avengers, so he's like, no, if I destroy the Avengers, there's nothing for him to come back to. Like, there's a lot of really cool ways you can go with that,
mm-hmm.
And it gets me excited. So
yeah, I mean, those are, that's all really good. I'm like, it's funny, it's interesting how different of fans you and I are from each other. Like, you're very much like, oh, there's all this potential, let me explore all of the ways that are potential based on what I know, whereas I'm more of just like, well, here's what we have, I don't know where they'll go, I don't want to get attached to anything because I know it's only going to make me disappointed. Because that's a history of everything when it comes to anything being adapted, is being disappointed by what doesn't make it to the big screen.
Yeah,
and I've been burned too many times, and I'm like, you know what, it's way more fun just to sit back and sort of let it happen. Yeah, it's fun to speculate, but when it comes to like diving into specific storylines and how entire universes will pan out, it's never been that exciting for me, because it's just like, your chances of weaving that thread or threading that needle, that's a better way of saying it, is really slim, and then you're just kind of setting yourself up for a subliminal disappointment. Subliminal disappointed, what I mean by that is that you're disappointed internally, and you don't realize you're so disappointed because in your head you were still wanting that thing that you imagined, even if you know that it was unrealistic to expect that.
I will say this, after Age of Ultron, Age of Ultron is where I kind of had my growing up moment for the MCU, where I realized I don't want to see page for page on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I kept expecting Natasha to like kill Captain America and go rogue and be a bad guy. And I'm really, really happy that she didn't, that unlike the comics, but Black Widow remains true and faithful to the Avengers. Civil War, you know, they took things and were inspired by them and put some iconic shots on there, like the Iron Man shooting Captain America's shield and the rays mm-hmm. bouncing off of it. That's literally from the comic book. But they tell their own stories, and that's where I think that Iron Lad character offers them an opportunity to take something inspired, which doesn't really do like a future Trunks thing in the comic books, because he's it's like the same timeline that he's inevitable to come into. But I like the idea of doing it with the future Trunks, where he learns the inevitability of it being a future Trunks type thing, where his timeline is set. He's going, you're dude.
Yeah.
You're
same, same basic concept of time.
Kang.
In DBZ as in Avengers, same basic concept where Trunks helps them and then has to basically use his strength to go back to his world and make things right.
Yeah. So that's what I had, man.
Yeah. I mean, also just, I know
we stoked about it.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, I was stoked about it too, because I thought about you when I was writing the article, because I was like, because I know you're waiting for that pillar of light at the end, thinking like, what are we heading to? I want to see the pillar of light. I want to know where this is going.
Show me the shadow of the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What are you going to say? Something
beyond that, we haven't talked about Final Fantasy VII Remake. I know you've talked about it twice.
Yeah,
but yes. I feel like I want to touch on it a little bit. And how far have you gotten so far?
I'm at the battle for the plate.
Okay, so how many hours in, and what level are you?
I am levels 35-ish.
Jesus.
And main time, not counting where I've like drifted off, fallen asleep.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I was about to say, it's like you can count side quests, but you can't, because doesn't make any sense.
Where I've like drifted off and fallen asleep or something like that. I would say I'm pushing 25-ish hours.
Good God. I thought I had a lot of hours in. Apparently not. I'm not. I don't stand a chance. I'm like 13 hours in.
Okay.
13 hours in. Around level 19, I'm with Aerith, and we just delivered flowers, so you know exactly where that is.
Yeah.
I think the game's pretty sweet. I really enjoy it.
Having Aerith in combat. She has become one of my favorite characters to fight with, mm-hmm. and mostly because of whenever I find an area to grind, I find out which creatures there have the most common elemental weakness,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll put on the elemental materia with that element on the weapon and just stand from a distance and just like beat the shit out of them.
mm-hmm.
She's actually very tactically well thought of. And then she's also back there doing the support. So if you're controlling her, you're already thinking about, because you're usually watching her own magic points, which causes you to look at the not console, but what the like information for your party down at the bottom right. And mm-hmm. keeps more of everybody's health on your mind, because you'll notice somebody going into the red, which then you're already on her. It's real easy to use her to throw out Kira or Kiraga or whatever mm-hmm. is needed.
I haven't used her extensively. I've only used her in like the monsters leading up to her house. I actually haven't really dug too deep into that. And the monsters leading up to her house are super weak, so there hasn't been much time to like.
Do you want a big tip?
Sure.
It doesn't give any story away, but you're gonna have a side mission that deals with the Angel of the Slums,
mm-hmm.
and you're gonna fight those guys that look like they're made out of like exhaust ports and stuff. They kind of got like a U-shaped head. and they blow out smog and stuff like that.
You mean like the little machine guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. We ran into one of them so far.
Yeah, you're going to fight a giant one of those that has a giant metal ball. Cloud attacks that ball and does like one damage. It takes forever to fill up the stagger gauge. But I can't remember. I'll have to text you what he's weak against. I think it's ice. But you attach ice to her weapon with the elemental materia, and you just have her focus on the ball, and then once it staggers, switch over to Cloud and have Cloud smash the body. Literally, I did the whole thing without her taking a single bit of damage.
Dang.
And I just kept using regen on Cloud.
Mm.
So
that's good to know. Yeah, I'll keep that in mind down the line when I get to that. Yep. But yeah, man, I really love the character building, how it does it. Like the scene where we're hopping over rooftops with her and just sort of the character interactions they have there.
While the banter.
The banter back and forth is really good.
Yeah. That's one of Brian's favorite parts. And it's been one of mine too. And something I said back before the game even came out, just kind of looking at trailers and some gameplay and then playing through the demo, I said there's going to be a point, and I'm quickly reaching that point where something tragic's going to happen, and it's going to hurt a lot more than it did playing through the original game.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I was telling you that too, the things that they were doing even early on in the game. I like the fact that they have a lot of things that you could just do in the different slums, and it's, you really get to sort of feel the atmosphere and the world that they're living in, and just explore like a really cool steampunkish type world, which is, you know, something I've been, I guess I wanted more of without even realizing that I wanted more of. You just get to see it more than you've ever seen it before, and I'm loving it. And I love the battle system and the,
it's great.
The way you actually, the weapons upgrades and the materials.
Yes. And that's
stuff.
Such a cool thing. And I was telling Brian, I remember in the original game constantly trying to get the newest armor, because it had better protection and defense against physical and magic. It might have some attributes to how quickly you earn XP or AP or whatever, but in this one, armor does not, you don't find as many new armors as quickly. Mm-hmm. And you got to think of more your armor more as how many materia slots does it have. Because a lot of them are really, really rough on your stats. They'll drop like your magic defense stat like nobody's business. But then you look over at your weapons upgrade and you're like, oh, I can make up with that for using two nodes over here on my weapons, and that gets my magic defense back up. Mm-hmm. And now I can buy this armor that has three slots, so I can use more materia, and then the effects that materia has on your stats. Yeah, there's a lot more
factors
thinking. Yeah,
a lot more little factors. Like there's not one thing that changes a bunch. It's like a bunch of little things across the board that make up your stat changes. And yeah, like I like even going in there and realizing, oh, I got more points to add to my Buster Sword, even if that's not my main weapon right now. And then just so that if the time comes, right, when the time comes, I might want to put it. I still haven't reached a situation where I'd want to reset or default my weapon. I don't know why you'd want that.
With a little nerdy kid that offers the opportunity.
Because it's not like as of right now, you know, I don't know, because you're way farther than I am. Because as of right now, it seems like you have those separate little, I guess, sphere galaxy things or whatever. They kind of go relatively linear. Yeah, you can go hop all around them and there's more as you go, but it's not like you choose a specific direction, and then that's like the way you've committed to. You can pretty much hop around however you want.
You could, like, because if you go into it with the mind, Cloud is going to be my tank. So all you focus on is his adding materia slots and adding to his defense and his physical attack.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're good to go. If you tried to balance Tifa, but later on find out that you need somebody that's a little bit faster, somebody that's like get in, fill up the ATB to do other things with, and then you want to get her out, you might want to go back and instead of, since you spent all the money like equally distributing things, you can find out that you need to kind of reset her and go back and do more speed, more luck, more defense, less physical. And
I mean, I guess I get the concept of it. I guess the thing is, as of right now, it's hasn't really reached the situation to where it seems like there's a whole lot of strategy. Like, for example, there's like three separate galaxies or whatever, and maybe there's two of them that I haven't purchased. And
yeah,
it's just like it's not like there's half of them and I have to choose half of them. It's like, no, I can purchase most of them before the other ones unlock. And so I'm pretty much just filling up and then the little adds and then it's filling all that up and then a little one adds and then it fills up a little more. So it doesn't feel like as much strategic stuff. I'm not sure if that changes down the line.
It can be, and it will with the newer weapons and things down the line, because I at one point the most slots I had was 4 on a weapon for materia, but I had so much badass like worthwhile materia that I was having trouble getting it all on to my team, and so I had to kind of go back and grind more and unlock more materia slots so that way I could still have my things for attack, things for buffers, and my healer Aerith. So, I think it's a wonderfully made game with wonderful homage to the original and a really nice blend. Where I said this a couple episodes ago. I said if you're a gamer, you're more than the casual play Luigi's Mansion or Mario Kart guy. If you're capable of multitasking and you've never played a Final Fantasy game before, I think this would be a great jumping on point. Now, if you're just a casual person, you don't really do tactical stuff. You play Mario Land and that's it. This, you'd go back and play some of the other turn based ones first and polish up some skills, but this is a great jumping on point for people that weren't turn-based thing.
I mean, I think you have to be I think it's less about what you're capable of, what you've experienced before, and more about what you want to experience. So like if there's someone who has just started playing video games and they like video games and they're like, "Oh, that looks cool." Then yeah, give it a shot, cuz you'll probably like it. If you think it looks cool, based on what you've seen, you will probably like it. And less about like what skills you have, because I think, it's pretty accessible once you hop on, as long as you know what you're getting into and you commit to the idea of it. I think it's definitely a great jumping on point for most people, I would say. Or maybe I'm giving people too much credit, I guess. That's possible. Because I know there's some people like wouldn't you think like, oh yeah, you're going to love it. It's really great. It's, you know, has sort of blockbuster stuff and cutscenes, and then the second they pick up the controller, it's like, oh, okay, I guess I've taken for granted how like sort of well versed I am in sort of the language of video games that I just didn't understand. So maybe I'm wrong. I'm talking myself out of what I just said, so never mind.
Either way, there's a free demo, so you can download that and see if you like it or not. So
yeah, but the game itself it exceeds expectations for me.
Yeah,
I'm just disappointed that the story is going to cut off, and I'm going to have to go like back to the original, and I'm like, oh, it's going to feel like such a jump back. because
see that's what I was thinking.
The battle system is so old.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of doing. Is after playing this, go back and play the original again, just to kind of satiate for Mo. Here's what I was thinking of doing. I was thinking of going back and playing 7, and then playing Xenogears, and then playing 12 again, and maybe between that and Fallout, maybe that'll give me enough time to before the next one comes out.
I don't know, we'll see. Hopefully they've established, like, we've actually talked about this, separate ideas as to what the actual future of the franchise is going to be. You're worried that they're going to level cap you. I don't think they're going to continue on with the same battle system. I mean, I think it's going to be mostly the same, but I think there are going to be evolutions, and I think it's going to be you're starting from scratch. That's what I think you're going to do, because when the game comes out, it's going to be 5 years later. It's going to be on a whole new system.
5 years. And don't do that to me.
It's going
to
be 5 years later. It's going to be on a whole new system, and we're basically going to be starting from scratch. That's what I think, but you're more optimistic than I. So what do you think?
Considering I'm at the plate, and I'm already at the 30s, and I'm comfortably fighting thing in the mid 30s, the only thing left after the plate is the crawl up to the Shinra Mansion, and then you got Shinra Mansion and the motor speed bike on the way out. That's it. I've only got two big events left. I could see them capping me out at 50 there. And the only reason why I say this should be way different than the 13 13 games is those were complete sequels with long distances of time in between. They weren't one. This is one continuous story. This is one game. This is Final Fantasy VII, just broken up into pieces like it was on the original. But we'll see. If they don't let me go past level 50, I think that's a good sign in my faith that we will carry over our saves. If they let me go over level 50, I think that's a bad sign and might be a sign that you're kind of going to get a vanilla reset of your characters. So, you know, they'll take some things from your save. I
think it makes financial sense to vanilla reset, because at the end of the day, they're not going to want to be have a situation where it's like if someone wants to play Final Fantasy Remake 2, they want to probably allow them the opportunity to do that.
I think you can allow them to do that, have a vanilla set. Preset if you have no save, but if you have a save, you carry over everything.
Yeah. Also, that would basically make it pretty important that they're able to somehow save the stuff between generations.
Yeah, and what else was I gonna say? I was gonna say something about it.
You're pulling a me. That's what I do. I usually just sit here and I'm like, what the fuck was I going to say? I don't know.
I can't remember, but we'll see what happens. I was going to say, they had mentioned a while ago that the next ones were going to go faster because they had the engine and things, certain things. I don't remember what things they said specifically, but they said that they had things that they've already built now and don't have to worry about rebuilding for the next ones, and they can focus on scenarios and like overworld and then the individual scenario.
I don't think it matters. It's not that important. Scenario. Yeah. I say scenario. I usually say scenario because of the other languages that I somewhat speak that use the A as a ah, so.
Yeah, so I think it would be smart to have some systems already built in that they could just carry on and not have to. So that way, maybe we only wait 2 years for the next one. And
hey, I would love that if we could do that. But
maybe
on
maybe
one hand,
one
I agree.
Year between 2 and 3 because there's not much left.
I don't know. Between maybe I on one hand I hope so. On the other hand, it's Square Enix.
Yeah.
That's basically what I'm going back and forth on. It's Square Enix, and it's they like to delay things. They're like Nintendo in that way, where they just keep delaying. And this is very clearly a lot of love was put into this game. Would you want them to keep the same battle system for 3 games or 4 games, however long it is?
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't think they need to, like, add to it?
No, I don't think they need to do jack to this. I think this battle system's great. Mm. I think it's perfect. It's a really great... I don't want to do any crap like the 13 games. I don't want anything that reminds me of that series.
I do say I do want them to go forward with something resembling this battle system for like 16 and on. Kind of like how, what was it? Was it 4 or 5 that introduced the ATB?
I think it was 4.
4. Basically that, and then kind of like...
tweaked it here and there.
Right, basically
got through to...
through 9. It basically went 4 through 9, where it was just sort of like a slight variation of that. I feel like that should be this 7 battle system moving on.
Yeah, it's a really good one.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, man, appreciate you being on the show again.
Mm-hmm.
And ladies and gentlemen, please make sure you check out our homepage, lrmonline.com. Every single day for all your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. Check out the YouTube channel. Lots of great content there, including live Los Fanboys most Fridays, usually somewhere around 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern time, give or take 30, 45 minutes earlier or later. And, of course, the LRM Online Podcast Network with great shows like Breaking Geek Radio, LR Mornings, LRM's Top 5, which... we got the X-Men Top 5 coming out tomorrow, so keep your eyes open on that. That was me and Nick trying to find 5 X-Men films to say good things about.
there's enough there to say. Well, actually, is there? Hold on, let me think here. They could do it on the spot.
There's not.
I mean, you could say nice things about 1. You could say nice things about
2.
You could say nice things about First Class. You could say nice things about Days of Future Past. You could say nice things about Logan. You could say nice things about Deadpool.
We didn't count Wolverine or Deadpool movies.
Wolverine doesn't count?
This was X-1 through 3 and First Class through Dark Phoenix.
Okay, so maybe not. Maybe 4.
Two and a half movies.
No, there's 4. There's 4 where you could say nice things about.
Okay, well, we got that coming up, and Los Fanboys will continue to be on the podcast network.
Damn right it will.
It just comes a little bit later after the live show.
Not a little bit later, like a couple hours after the live show. It's not that bad.
Yeah, that's a little bit later.
Well, you made it sound like it was going to be a big delay.
No, just a little bit late, like legitimately just a little bit later, like a couple hours. So anyways, where can people find you at online, Jim?
You can find me on Twitter at Jam the Writer, all of my books under the name AJ Serna on Amazon, and of course Los Fanboys streaming 1 p.m. Pacific time on Fridays.
You guys can find me at That Kyle Malone on Twitter. Hey, thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Adios.